the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. What started as an effort to end one migration crisis 22 years ago is now over, as the Obama administration worries about the potential of another. Since May 2, 1995, until Thursday this week, if a Cuban fleeing the island made it to American sand or soil, they could stay. This wet-foot, dry-foot policy came into being after the 1994 Bolseros crisis, when thousands of Cubans took to the Florida Straits hoping to make it to the United States. Today, if a Cuban tries to enter the United States without a visa, there is no more special treatment. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson made the announcement Thursday afternoon.
Going forward, those Cuban migrants who arrive in the United States illegally, with some exceptions, will be subject to deportation.
Among the reasons cited for the change, the increase in Cuban migrants coming to the United States since President Obama reset relations with Cuba a little more than 2 years ago. In fiscal 2014, 40,000 Cubans came to the U.S. In fiscal 2015, that grew to 54,000, and most of them entering by making the trek through Central America and Mexico. Cuban-American Laura Vieno was at Cafe Versailles in Little Havana after learning about the change.
I have lived here most of my life in Miami as an exile. I look at it as good. We have lost many, many young lives. We have the best talent drowned or otherwise lost there in the sea. Instead of fighting for a free Cuba, that's what we want.
Yazel Benitez is not happy with the change. Benitez calls it a gift from the Obama administration to the Castro regime. It's the last concession that Obama had for Raul Castro. To gift him this concession of eliminating wet foot, dry foot is one more way that Democrats are communists, that Democrats are pro Raul Castro. So the end of wet foot, dry foot is where we begin this week on the Florida Roundup. This change in policy impacts South Florida probably more than any other community in the United States. So do you support the change? Has the special immigration treatment of Cubans over the past 21 plus years impacted you or your family? Join the conversation on the telephone, 800-743-WLRN, throughout South Florida, toll free at 800-743-9576. On social media, Twitter, look for us at WLRN. And we're beginning a new text technology today. You can join the conversation by texting WLRN to 63735. Text WLRN to 63735. Tim Padgett covers the Americas for us here at WLRN. Tim, let's begin with you here. Why now, in the final week of President Obama's administration, this change?
Well, two basic reasons for this. And the first starts with a paradox. Despite the fact that even most Cuban Americans considered this wet foot, dry foot rule a problematic policy, even an unfair policy, that really needed to be jettisoned, nobody wanted to touch it. It was still a politically toxic policy provision or privilege to touch. As I said, despite the fact that even Cuban Americans wanted to get rid of it, nobody wanted to take that step because no group wants to lose a privilege. Mm-hmm. It's just a psychological thing. So Obama, I think, waited until the very last moment of his administration to do this so that the political fallout would be minimal for him and minimal in general. The other reason is I think the Obama administration was waiting to get as much assurance as it could from the Castro regime that it would take these migrants back.
Yep.
And that took some doing, because dealing with the Cubans on issues like this always takes some doing, as our guest here, Michael Weisenstein, will attest.
That's right. Michael Weisenstein is the Associated Press News Director for the Caribbean. He is based in Havana, but back here on the mainland in Miami this week, and lucky to have him here on the Florida Roundup. Mike, what will Cubans coming into the United States beginning today experience if they make it?
They'll experience what every other migrant or every other visitor to the U.S. experiences. They'll be able to stay illegally if they want to, but they will be able to be deported if they're found out, which is the loss of a tremendous privilege that only Cubans had for so long.
And if they're deported, if they're sent back, to Tim's point, is there any negotiated special treatment or protections that they may have in Cuba? What would they go back to?
No, Cubans who have been deported have not suffered terrible consequences. For example, rafters, when they're found, they do get fined when they come back, and they do get, you know, specially looked at by state security. But there generally able to return to their ordinary lives, and with the exception of these fines, which can get successively stiffer every time you try to go.
And a number of these migrants leaving are leaving for economic reasons as much as anything. So to find somebody who is in economic straits in Cuba results in what, Mike?
Sure. I mean, that can make the person's situation even more difficult and make the person even more dissatisfied.
So are there any special precautions, any special protections that U.S. negotiators were able to extract from Cuba in this new agreement?
I think this two-year, the extension of the two-year window to 4 years was less about the fact that Cuba was not allowing people to come back than the fact that people who migrated needed to come back within 2 years in order to maintain their privileges as Cubans, healthcare, education, the right to own property, and the right to own a car. And that's a thing that wasn't often commented on in this debate about wet foot, dry foot, is that until now, just as the U.S. and Cuba are cooperating now in ending this, until now, both countries had cooperated in encouraging it. Cuba, actually, this two-year window was perfectly timed to allow people to come, get their legal residency, get all their benefits.
Come to the United States.
Come to the United States.
Get legal residency after 1 year.
Get your Medicaid, right. Get all your aid, get established,
food
get legal
stamps,
residency,
those kinds of
food
things.
Stamps.
Yep.
And then if you wanted to, which many, many recent migrants did, come back to Cuba, keep your property, keep your car, keep your free health care. And it was double dipping in a way that I think helped undermine, along with the wave of migration, undermine the political feasibility of this policy.
Let's hang a little bit more context on this, Tim. This two-year window, Mike, that you mentioned is in relation to a Cuban law that if a Cuban leaves the island and doesn't return for 2 years, they essentially give up their Cuban residency and their right to whatever rights they may have on the island, economic or otherwise. The United States negotiators have told us they anticipate that to change to a four-year window, but it is not changed yet today, even though American policy has changed.
Yeah, there's a lot that I think the Obama administration is sort of assuming is going to happen. I think that they feel comfortable enough to announce this now because they do feel that the Cubans are going to offer concessions. And the biggest being, you know, extending this two-year window to four years, because it just gives the United States more time than to deal with Cubans who are coming in illegally, to find them, identify them, you know, work through the process of deporting them. Because, you know, under this two-year rule, if you couldn't do that within the 2 years, then suddenly a Cuban is saying, well, look, I'm a man without a country. Mm-hmm. Like, where are you going to send me? I've got no place to go. You got to take me. Now we've got, you know, twice the time to deal with all that. And I think that's what the Obama administration thought was a very important concession to get.
End of wet foot, dry foot. Special immigration status for Cubans in the United States is first up here on the Florida Roundup. Join that conversation on the telephone, 800-743-9576. 800-743-WLRN. You can send us a note via text with a new technology we are experimenting with. Text WLRN to 63735 to join the conversation. Text WLRN to 63735. Barbie from Miami sent us this text. It's going to cause some uproar in the Cuban community here, but it's a vital part of continuing the movement of normalization in Cuban-American relations. Christina from Miami sent us this text. I think and hope that this will mean Cuban Americans get behind immigration reform, as they'll be treated similarly to political refugees from other countries in Latin America. Marielle in Miami texted us, it was about time. Many Latin Americans live under very dangerous and deplorable conditions and did not have the same rights. Let us know texting WLRN to 63735. Let's go to the telephone. Samuel is joining us from Miami.
Hello.
Samuel, welcome. You're on the radio. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wanting to state that I have a unique perspective. I'm of Afro-Cuban and Haitian descent, and to see how the white Cubans in my family have prospered in Miami and see other Caribbean peoples from, you know, Jamaica, from Latin American countries, Nicaragua, and from Haiti, it's just very disparaging. And what I really have found is that it has been a way for an economic power base here that is just completely, no one else has any power in South Florida. I mean, there are no really other groups that have the kind of financial and political clout in Miami that the Cubans do. Hmm. And I don't have any problem with people getting American citizenship. We are all citizens from other places, you know, immigrants from all over the world here in America. But you have to play fair, okay? And I don't even see how anybody could advocate keeping the law, because anybody who comes here is always going to want to come to America, just like every other immigrant around the world, because we have a good lifestyle here.
Samuel, we're glad you're here. We're glad for that input. I'm going to pull that apart into two pieces. One, let's take the other immigration status of Caribbean nations. Michael Weisenstein with the Associated Press. How do you think this will be greeted in Haiti and other Caribbean nations of folks that that have had to wait in line and face deportation?
I think exactly as the caller said, everyone will welcome what had been, I think, particularly galling for other potential immigrants. I mean, people were increasingly infuriated by the special status that Cubans had.
And we've seen the status of Haitians, for instance, move dramatically. It was just 7 years ago, I believe, was the earthquake, and there was immigration status put into place that was repealed just a matter of a few months ago and then brought back after Hurricane Matthew.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, these are things that have come in and out for different populations based on circumstances. And I think what happened here is that for Cubans, the circumstances changed.
And Tim Padgett, to the caller's point regarding shaping Miami. Now, clearly, the Cuban influence in Miami did not begin with Wet Foot, Dry Foot on May 2nd of 1995. It dates back well before then. But to the caller's point, it perhaps has shaped and helped feed a political power base, an economic power base.
Well, there are two ways to look at that. The one is the fact that, yes, many Cubans who were escaping Cuba over the past 50 years had a very good reason to escape Cuba. You're escaping a very oppressive communist regime whose economy was, in paralysis for most of that time at the best. So there was a reason for Cuban exile leaders to want to give Cuban migrants some sort of privilege to make it easier for them to get here. I don't blame them for that. But the more, I don't know, is the word, the more cynical outlook would be that Cuban leaders, exile leaders, also pushed privileges like this because it was a way of feeding what has often been called the Cuban exile industrial complex. Mm-hmm. You get more of a political and economic base of your community in here, and that helps you, garner the kind of political clout that we've seen Cubans wield for so long here.
We were focused on the changes to and the elimination of the wet foot, dry foot policy, but there are some other points in this agreement, this communique that was released by the United States and Cuba yesterday. And this was a deal. This was a deal that included a policy change in the United States. The U.S. could have changed this policy without any kind of negotiated agreement with Cuba.
Right.
This was an American deal, right, Mike? I mean, this wasn't some kind of negotiated settlement between two countries, per se. I mean, one's immigration status is sovereign.
Right. I think it would have been very hard, though, given that these policies, I mean, given that Cuban policy has developed in tandem with U.S. policy.
Or in response to, is what the critics will say.
Or in response to, I think it would have been extremely hard for them to have done this unilaterally. I mean, there's things like the four-year window. I mean, these things had to be adjusted in Cuba in order to make this feasible. And the Obama administration, at least, and the Castro government have developed very fluid contacts and are negotiating on a whole variety of things constantly.
A couple of the other deal points here, Tim, included the Cubans agreeing to essentially welcome back 2,746 Cubans who came to the United States after the Mariel boatlift in 1980. These are folks that America wants to deport, and Cuba has apparently agreed to take them back.
Right. And these, as you'll recall, one of the criticisms of the Mariel boatlift was that Fidel was using that to dump a lot of undesirables
right.
from Cuba into the United States. These more than 2,700 that you're referring to were some of the worst. And it's always been a sticking point between the U.S. and Cuba as to whether Cuba would take them back. And again, I think this was done at such a late point in the Obama administration because they wanted a secure assurance from Cuba that these people would be taken back.
1 week and one day left in the Obama
exactly.
administration when it made this decision. We'll talk about the next administration and how it may greet these changes here in a moment. But Mike, I want to ask you, There was also a provision here that ends what's called the Cuban Medical Professional Parole Program. This is a point of contention that was identified in the statements from Senator Rubio, from U.S. Representative Ileana Ross-Leighton, as well as U.S. Representative Carlos Cabello, among those criticizing the elimination of this specific program.
With regards to the cancellation of the Cuban Medical Professional Parole Program, which offered refuge to Cuban doctors who were in effect slaves of the regime, assigned to countries all over the world, it is regrettable and a clear example of the Cuban regime's influence over the Obama administration. I hope the incoming administration will consider reinstating this program.
So, Michael Weisenstein, with the Associated Press in the Caribbean, how was this program used, and what does its elimination mean for those Cuban medical professionals?
I mean, there were real numbers of doctors taking advantage of this program to get to this to the States. I think it was about 1,000 a year on average. But in terms of the flood of Cubans, many of whom are medical professionals, since there's so many doctors and medical workers in Cuba, it was really symbolic. I think it was symbolic in terms of Cuban Americans who, you know, see these doctors as the quote said, as slaves of the regime. And it was also symbolic for Cuba, which used it as either a reason or some could say an excuse to make Cuban doctors currently the only Cuban citizens, with some very few other exceptions, who are not free to leave the island. And I think this removing the Cuban medical program, we'll have to see now how the Cuban government reacts and whether it allows Cuban doctors to travel just like anyone else.
Yeah, the criticism, Mike, from the delegation here in South Florida that's been critical of the elimination of this program is that it puts those medical professionals at risk in Cuba because these are folks that otherwise would want to leave.
You know, I think so many more Cuban doctors and nurses were leaving Cuba through the ordinary, through wet foot, dry foot, and the parole program, that it's not, I mean, 1,000 doctors a year is a real number.
Yeah.
But in terms of the thousands and thousands who were leaving, I don't think the medical parole program was particularly, wasn't the only way for a doctor to get out of Cuba.
54,000 migrants last year, in the last fiscal year, up from 40,000 the year before. This communique, Tim Padgett, also still includes 20,000 Cubans under an immigration lottery that have always been there, but that program will continue.
Right. And that's the legal means then for Cubans to come here. It's a point of anxiety for a lot of Cubans. They'd like to see it expanded, and I'm sure they're going to want to see it expanded now because they feel that they don't have that valve that now lets them go illegally. So we'll probably see some clamor for that to expand at this point.
Now, technically, this is not a new policy. It is the elimination of a policy that President Clinton put in place back in May of 1995. And of course, this happened 1 week and 1 day before a new administration takes the reins here in the United States. So what does this mean for the incoming Trump administration? We got some feedback from our Public Insight Network from WLRN and Miami Herald.
Hi, my name is Bo Bennett. I live in Isla Mirada, Florida. I think it's good. I live down here in the Florida Keys, and I think that if anything we can do to prevent hundreds of rickety, decrepit boats coming ashore here is going to help us in that regard.
My name is Evangelina Altamirano, and I'm a resident of Miami Springs. I am thrilled that President Obama has repealed one of the most corrosive, divisive, and one-sided immigration policies of the past 20 years. I sincerely hope that Mr. President-elect Trump does not undo this when he takes office next week.
Michael Weisenstein with the Associated Press. Any indication of how the Trump administration is going to greet this change in the waning days of the Obama administration?
At least until 20 minutes ago, I hadn't seen any Trump reaction on Twitter. And I think the Obama administration is betting that this becomes very difficult for the Trump administration, which has spoken so much about immigration, to now put in place its own special privilege for Cuban migrants. I mean, I think that's the the political reality that they're betting on.
Michael Weisenstein with the Associated Press. Tim, how about it from a Trump administration? He was down here courting Cuban votes and was very successful at it in his run for the presidency.
Yeah, that aside, though, I agree with Michael. I think it would be very difficult for him to go against his own platform stumping on immigration. And also, I go back to the original point we made in the show, was that most Cuban Americans and even many Cuban American exile leaders wanted to get rid of this thing, even though they didn't really publicly say it. They did. And I think in a way, Obama has sort of done their dirty work for them. And I really don't see them pressing Trump at this point to undo what Obama just did.
And this gets to the Cuban Adjustment Act, which dates even further back in our relations to 1966. One of the text messages we got on our new text technology we're experimenting today from Claudia from Fort Lauderdale, saying, finally, never understood why the Cubans got special treatment, residency within a year, money to support themselves. How about Haitians, Venezuelans, Chinese? They're oppressed people, too. I'm glad President Obama had the courage to do this. That sent via text to us after texting WLRN to our new text line, 63735. She's referring to the benefits that Cubans have been allowed to receive under the Cuban Adjustment Act, which have been used and abused, as has been reported in the Sun Sentinel and others. Yeah. What does the repeal of Wet Foot Fry Foot mean for the reform effort that Congressman Curbelo and others have talked about in terms of the Cuban Adjustment Act?
I think it speeds that up, because if you look closely, I've been talking with a lot of sources this morning who have been reading these documents very carefully from last night. And one of the things they point out is that it not only eliminates wet foot, dry foot, but it also diminishes a lot of the executive discretion, as they call it, as to how the White House and the executive branch perform the Cuban Adjustment Act,
right.
which meant sort of, you know, encouraging Cuban migrants who do get here legally to, quote, parole themselves into legal resident status. Well, according to the provisions of this executive order from yesterday, that is greatly diminished. The executive discretion has really been weakened, and you're not really going to see Cuban migrants push toward that adjusted status as strongly as they were before. So in many ways, the Cuban Adjustment Act itself has become sort of an empty letter.
Hmm. Michael Weisenstein with the Associated Press in the Caribbean. How has this been greeted initially in Cuba? This change was on national television last night in Cuba.
The government has welcomed it. I mean, the government publicly was, the Cuban government, calling for the end of all of these special immigration privileges for a long time. Ordinary Cubans are in tremendous distress. I mean, particularly those who had been planning on leaving soon. I mean, the detente between the U.S. and Cuba set off an avalanche of migration precisely to get ahead of this change.
Think of that migration oftentimes in this community as through the Florida Straits, but increasingly over the past several years, certainly since normalization, it has happened via Central America and Mexico.
That's right. The great majority have been coming over land. So those who are planning on leaving soon, or those who, even worse, are en route over land to the United States are in tremendous distress. And those who are, even those who are not planning to leave Cuba, are distressed or worried about a sort of often unmentioned aspect of Cuban migration to the U.S. or of the wet foot, dry foot policy, mm-hmm. is that it became a tremendous support, source of support, economic support for Cuba in tough economic times.
How so?
Because the wet foot, dry foot and the Cuba Adjustment Act would convert the most dissatisfied, most motivated Cubans, rather than staying and agitating for change at home, converted them into sources of remittances back in Cuba. So although the Cuban government bitterly complained about it, it also, in sort of less obvious ways, made it very feasible for, as we were talking about before, people to come here but go back. And I think this really potentially does increase the pressure and the difficulty inside Cuba if it plays out as the Obama administration seems to intend.
And soon to be the Trump administration. We'll right. see in the next week or so. Michael Weisenstein covers the Caribbean and Cuba for the Associated Press. Great to have you here in Miami, Michael.
Thanks for
Appreciate
having
it.
Me.
Tim Padgett covers the Americas for us at WLRN. Tim, always great to have you as well.
Thank you very much.
Still to come on the roundup, stick with this. It's 1 week after the Fort Lauderdale airport attack. We'll talk security and access to guns with Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. That's next.